Okay. I remember preaching a couple of years ago now, or a good few years ago now, in a big church where they had a lot of singing before, about 45 minutes of singing before I got up to preach. And a guy was leading it. I was just sitting at the back. And I said, when I preach, I really get thirsty. Can you get me a glass of water? So he had this glass of water, and I was watching, because as he led the 45 minutes, he kept drinking from his glass of water. And I was thinking, well, I hope he's got another glass of water for me. And when he'd finished the leading all the songs, he said, to call on Alan. And as he saw me walking up, he passed me the glass of water, and he said, it's okay, I haven't got anything nasty. And I thought, well, let's start there then, because you don't know that, do you? You don't know that at all. And my title is The Virgin and the Curse. In my lifetime, some horrible diseases, TB, typhoid, diphtheria, smallpox, polio, have almost vanished in Britain in my lifetime. It's amazing. Princess Alice was Queen Victoria's third daughter, I think. Anybody watched Victoria on TV? You know the there we are. I think Alice was the third daughter. She died because her daughter got typhoid, and the physician came and said to Princess Alice, "You mustn't touch her, and you certainly mustn't embrace her, mustn't touch her." But the daughter got weaker and more frightened, and Princess Alice was a loving mother, so she grabbed hold of her daughter. She hugged her, and she kissed her, and she got typhoid from her daughter. And when the Prime Minister of the day, William Gladstone, announced that to Parliament that Princess Alice had died, he used the news as an opportunity to preach the gospel. He was a Christian. He used it as an illustration. Princess Alice died because she loved her daughter that much, and Jesus died because he loved us. Imagine somebody saying that in Parliament these days. So though we're thankful that many diseases have gone in the UK, there's one that we've all got, sin, the virus. We've all got the plague, which is why my title, The Virgin and the Curse, Jesus is born of a virgin. It has to be like that, because Galatians 3 tells us that this disease is like a curse. Cursed is everybody who doesn't do what God says, which is all of us. That's why we don't do what God says. We're cursed. Romans 5 fleshes it out even more. This deadly spiritual virus comes because of Adam. We all sinned in Adam. We weren't born then, but in Adam all sinned. In Adam all die. That's the biblical assessment. Every boy, girl, man, woman, every person on the planet. It's not very nice. It's not very pleasant to listen to, but it's honest. That is our situation. Proverbs 20, who can say I've kept my life pure and free from sin? Answer, nobody. No one. The Bible calls it a curse because it's that bad. The other day, me and my wife were driving down the street, and my wife reminded me of a particular house we passed where there's a lady, I don't know if she still lives there, I think she probably does, who's about 40 years of age now. She lost her father when she was young. Then her mother had a stroke, subsequently died. Then the lady got married and her husband died on the wedding night. He had a heart attack. What do we call that? Bad luck? What do we call that? See, something's wrong in the world, because that situation is not uncommon. We've all got probably tragedies we could flag up. Something's wrong. Nobody does good all the time. Nobody does. About 20 years ago, was it? After Diana's funeral, there was all these academics got together, published these essays on this outpouring of grief, emotion. And they all concluded something was wrong in society because this grief was just weird. It was illogical, they all said. The people were weeping as if they knew Diana and they didn't know anything about her. And they all concluded that what was wrong in society was society. But nobody knew why. See, they were just clever people. They weren't Christians. They didn't know. Only the Bible clarifies our situation. The problem is you and me, us. That's the problem. And it shows itself. The symptoms are selfishness. That's how we see it. But the root cause is much deeper. The Bible's definition of sin is lawlessness. I prefer to do it my way. You prefer to do it your way. Oh, I care about you, maybe a little bit, but I care about myself much more. That's what I'm like. That's what you are like. There's no serum. There's no antidote. There is no cure. The Bible is clear. This contamination is passed down through all the sons of Adam. Every person born, male sperm, female egg, is a sinner from the very moment they conceived. They show it because they're sinful and they're selfish. We see it every Tuesday morning, your toddler's chatter, isn't it? If I saw it first, it's mine. If you saw it first, it's mine. If I want it, it's mine. If you want it, it's mine. You only got to, they don't have to be taught. They're little squirts, and that's what they like. Why? There was a guy interviewed on the radio last week. He said he'd contracted HIV, I think 25 years ago, from sex with another guy. And he said, I know we could have used condoms, but hey, we're all human. I thought, and that's it, isn't it? In other words, we're all selfish, because we know that, condoms was a big thing for safe sex. But hey, we're all human. In other words, we can't be bothered to be careful. We're selfish. Why, though? Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, a guy came here. I didn't know him. He was brought here by somebody I did know. He said, and he sat in the back room there and said, look, I can give you funding for a year to have a worker work in the community. Oh, yeah, sounds great, I said. Okay, right, I'll ring you next week with the details. Great. 4 weeks later, I have to ring him. And he said, oh, yeah, I haven't forgotten about it. I'll ring you next week. I said, well, hang on. A month ago, you said that. The man went really nasty on the phone. I was pointing out that he'd broken his word. And obviously, this deeply offended his ego. And that's called sin. That's called sin. We don't like being told when we're wrong. And the proof that all have sinned in Adam is all die. Woolworths went out of business, didn't it? Debenhams apparently is going. But I got an old mate. He lives in a massive house. He goes on holiday, lovely posh holidays, with his wife 5 or 6 times a year. Do you know why? Business is booming. Do you know why? He's a funeral director. That's why. He doesn't go out of business, because all die. All die in Adam. Why do all die? That's because all die in Adam. Freddie Mercury sang, "Who wants to live forever?" Maybe lots of people do, but we can't and we don't live forever, do we? I remember when Paul McCartney's wife, Linda, first was diagnosed with cancer. Remember the headlines in the paper? Paul and Linda saying, we're going to fight this. 6 weeks later, she's dead. Did they fight? I bet they did. Brave words, but you can't, because all die. All die because we're all guilty. We're all contaminated. And our only hope is the virgin birth. Our only hope is that God will do something so stupendous, so amazing, that somehow someone will come and take my place, someone who is not cursed, who is innocent, and I can give him the curse. I can lay my curse on him, and he can give me his righteousness. That's our only hope. Because here I am, here you are. We're banned from heaven otherwise. We ruin it. We're dirty. We'd spoil it within a second. So unless God can come up with a plan, we've had it. No amount of religion, self-help therapy is any use at all unless God can do something. And he promised at the very start of Genesis chapter 3, he was going to send one, a Messiah, a Christ, a sent one. And this one will pay the price. He'll be a man. I remember when I was a young Christian teaching, some of the teenagers, I think, felt something weird had happened to me, and they thought perhaps they'd try and build a bridge, so that they could talk to me about something. And they came in one day and they said, well, we got this great song, sir. It was from Godspell. Godspell was a musical. And it was a very, catchy song. And a couple of the girls there strummed a guitar and they sang a song, "He's a Man, He's Just a Man." And I've known so many men before. And I said, yeah, it's a lovely song, girls, but, and he was a man, but not just a man. And there's the difference. There's the key. He's not born of Adam. It's miraculous. He doesn't inherit the curse. You, me, us, we're sinners. We're born sinners and we add to our sin every day. First thing is, he's born without sin. Second thing is, he lives a perfect life for 30 odd years, so he doesn't add a single sin anyway. I read Matthew 27 this week. Jesus hanging on the cross and the crowd taunting, "Come down if you are the Son of God. Come down." Thank God he didn't come down. Thank God he didn't. He hangs there for me, for you. See, our generation is not interested in sorting out the sin problem. Our generation has become experts in curing guilt. As long as we don't feel bad. As long as I don't feel bad, it doesn't matter that I am bad. As long as I don't feel it. That's what matters. We see it all around us, TV, magazines, newspapers, and in our own hearts, an amazing ability not to feel bad. I don't feel guilty about it. I don't feel guilty. If it bothers you, fine, they say. But it doesn't bother me. We learn to live a lie. We learn to dismiss anything unpleasant as negativity. We learn what Psalm 36 said all those years ago. We flatter ourselves so much. Not only do we not hate our sin, don't even detect it, don't even notice it. I always remember a lady coming up after a service like this. She'd been a member of a church for 25 years, and she came up and she said, "Are you saying that manipulating my husband is a sin?" "Well, how long have you been in church and you haven't seen that that is a sin?" We avoid thinking about death because we avoid thinking about the guilt of sin. And all the time, every day, the Lord God Almighty has offered us a Saviour. And some of you are committing the greatest sin of all, ignoring him. Even now. Maybe it's too late. I don't know. But unless you call out for him to save you, you'll never find out, will you? Call on him while he's near. He's the only one who can save you. And his name is Jesus. Amen. What kind of love is this? There's the occasional song or hymn we sing. I can remember the first time I sang it. You know, this was one particularly. I didn't even know his name. You know, I had absolutely no idea that Jesus was hanging on the cross for me. I had no idea. Didn't know anything about him. Let's sing and worship.